Wonderful as always. Welcome, Hillcrest Bible Church, Trinity Bible Church, family, friends, neighbors, everyone who's in town, and those who are on the live stream. Glad that all of you could enjoy this evening with us together. I don't know how many of you could tell me what the word Noel means. Probably, I see a hand. Close, yeah, we use it to refer to Christmas. It actually just means birth. Comes from the Latin, natal, or nativity. It just means birth. But for many hundreds of years, Christians, when you say that word, the birth, right? When we say the master, this is the birth we're celebrating tonight. We look forward to going through this program. As you all pretty much probably are familiar, we just roll through the program beginning to end. No real breaks, no applause, no announcements, just flow right through once we kick off. So we're looking forward to that. These are also not particularly short services typically. So if you need to step out or step out with a child, feel free to do that. There's some toys in the back. The nursery is not active tonight, but if you need to step in there with a child, that's perfectly fine. But we wanted people to be able to participate and to hear, and there is sound out in the foyer. So if you need to hop out there with the little one, feel free to do that. But they're always welcome here as well. The restrooms are out here to this side for those of you who might need to step out to those. And then when we gather for fellowship afterwards, there are stairwells on both corners back here and a lift back here at this end. If you need assistance with that, let me know or someone else that you think might be from Hillcrest who might know how to operate the lift. And we can help you with that for sure. Let me go ahead and invite Peter Spirip up to open us in prayer. And then we'll walk through the pining for Noel, the promise of Noel, the provision of Noel, the praise for Noel, and the purpose of Noel together. Enjoy.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity tonight to come together as your church to celebrate and contemplate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so grateful to you that you sent your son to solve the problem of our sin. And just ask that you would be with all of us tonight, open our hearts and our minds that we can learn and grow deeper in our relationship with you. And I would just ask that if there are those here tonight that don't know you, that this program would be used to edify and that they would come to Christ. Again, thank you for this evening. Thank you again for the significant gift that you've given us. Thank you for all the participants tonight. I ask that you would bless each one of them and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. Our sins have hidden his face from us, so that he does not hear. Our hands are defiled with blood, and our fingers with iniquity. Our lips have spoken lies, our tongues mutter wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. We rely on empty pleas, we speak lies, we conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. Our works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in our hands. Our feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Our thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in our highways. The way of peace we do not know, and there is no justice in our paths. We have made our roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, and behold, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey.
Our enemy, our captor, is no Pharaoh on the Nile. Our toil is neither mud, nor brick, nor sand. Our ankles bear no calluses, from chains yet, Lord, we're bound. Imprisoned here, we dwell in our own land. Deliver us, deliver us, O Yahweh, hear our cry, and gather us beneath your wings tonight. Our sins, they are more numerous than all the lambs we slay. Our shackles, they were made with our own hands. Our toil cannot atone for us, our crying cannot save. So Yahweh, send a Savior to our land. Deliver us, deliver us, O Yahweh, hear our cry, and gather us beneath your wings tonight. Deliver us, deliver us, O Yahweh, hear our cry, and gather us beneath your wings tonight.
"Behold, the days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell surely, securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown into the spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. So, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, and behold, I come, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord.
Thank you. month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was.
Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end."
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever."
Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
three shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God shall call to himself."
Thank you. sign shall be given. A virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations, a light for all to see. The hope of all who will embrace his warm reality. Emmanuel, God with us. For all those who live in the shadow of death, a glorious light has dawned. For all those who stumble in the darkness, behold, your light has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us. So what will be your answer? Will you hear the call of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all? On earth, there is no power, there is no depth or height that could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Emmanuel, our God, is with us. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? Our God is with us. Emmanuel. Please join us if you know that chorus or not.
I've worked in the tech sector for over 42 years. I don't look that old, but I am. It's been a wonderful career, but the unredeemed human imagination coupled with our God-given intellect has produced a reoccurring series of man-made idols since the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. It's a bit of a paradox. On one hand, God has enabled man to accomplish much through his intellect, reason, and imagination. On the other hand, these accomplishments do not typically point man to God. Man continues in his futile attempts to solve his problems, often via scientific advancement and technology development. AI is being heralded as the latest solution to many of man's woes. The fact of the matter is that fallen man cannot solve his problems, least of which is the problem of sin. Jesus made this all too familiar but gripping statement in John 15:5, quote, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Despite man's growing fascination with technology and his own imagination, man's quest for a utopia which rejects the existence of original sin will lead to utter and complete failure. Only God and God alone can solve the problem of sin, and he did so through the Lord Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man. In the few minutes we have, I want to highlight four things of probably a dozen or more that underscore the uniqueness and utter incomprehensibility of God and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be clear, and my son-in-law helped me think through this, we serve a holy and righteous God, something that is hard for our finite minds to fully comprehend. Our sin necessitates death. As such, the condescension and death of the second person of the Trinity is at the core of our salvation and the most epic and profound event in all of human history. First, the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation is a compassionate Savior. As believers, we know and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's not simply a good teacher or a worthy example. He's the God of the universe, the Creator. I won't take the time because it's a bit tangential to our devotional, but I never tire of reading the words of Colossians 1:15 through 18, where Paul expresses the absolute grandeur of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Creator. It's stunning that the second person of the Trinity would condescend to come to the earth and fashion himself in the likeness of those he created. Frankly, it's jaw-dropping. Yet coming as the Son of Man, he is compassionate and understands our weakness. As God, he not only condescends to become a man, but he understands that we are but dust and has great compassion on us in our sin and grief-stricken lives that are often the byproduct of sin. The writer of the Hebrews says this in Hebrews 4:14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. There are many passages that underscore the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 35:9-35 through 36, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. It's important for us to remember that this is a narrative that describes the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not abstract or general language. In a similar fashion, Mark reveals the heart of our Savior toward man. Mark 1:40 and 41. And a man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling down and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Obviously, the whole of his life and ministry speak volumes about his exceeding compassion. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation is our loving substitute. The heart of the gospel is Christ's substitutionary work on the cross. Without his atoning work, we would be forever lost. The limits of the universe could not measure the breadth of the chasm that exists between a holy God and sinful man. The only means of bridging this incomprehensible gap is through the willing sacrifice of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses on the substitutionary work of Christ is 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Often called the great exchange, these words are heart-stopping when we think about the supernatural work of God in saving sinners. It goes far beyond a provision. Christ did not merely make salvation possible. He became our substitute. Our sins, past, present, and future, were placed on him, and his righteousness was graciously placed on us. The glorious truth brings into focus Isaiah 52:10, where it says, "The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations, so that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God." The triune God spoke all of creation into existence by his word, yet in redeeming fallen man, he did more than speak. He acted with saving power. The Lord bared his holy arm, revealing the full measure of his strength, mercy, and love, that the ends of the earth might behold the salvation of our God. Isaiah makes a similar point in Isaiah 53:5. "But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The glorious incarnation of God himself set in motion a world-changing event that will echo through all eternity. The God of creation entered his own creation to solve the problem of sin through his substitutionary death on the cross. This is far more than an important or static doctrine. The atoning work of Christ stands as the great hinge of all history, the decisive act which fallen man is reconciled to a holy God. Scripture makes it clear the incarnation was not incidental, but absolutely essential. Only by God taking on flesh, dwelling among us, and offering himself in our place could we secure our true reconciliation. Thirdly, the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation is our shepherd and our teacher. And I realized partway through this, preparing for this devotional, I was thinking about just that in some ways it's a bit more difficult to talk about something like this than exegeting a contiguous passage of Scripture. The incarnation of Christ is beyond glorious, and you quickly run out of superlatives to describe and elevate the glory of the character and magnificence of the incarnation. That said, it's stunning to think about the fact that the God of the universe condescended to become a man, came to this earth, and fellowshipped with his disciples for 3 years. The Apostle John says this in John 1:14, a very familiar verse, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in John 10:11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He walked alongside them as their loving shepherd and teacher, caring for them and tenderly instructing them in wisdom. Because of our familiarity with these passages, it's easy to gloss over them and miss the full depth of the revealed Word of God. The God of all creation walked the earth with his people. And fourth and lastly, the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation is a resurrected Lord. The incarnate Son of God came to this earth to die. Christ was crucified. He died a real physical death. He was raised again on the third day. This is far more than simply a story that is all too familiar to us. Christ's actual physical death and resurrection demonstrate his victory over death, and ultimately our victory over death if we're trusting fully in his finished work on the cross. Romans 6, 8 through 11 says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all time. But the life that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." John's words in John 11, 25 to 26 say, "Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. One who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Man is becoming increasingly delusional despite the collective genius of mankind and the technological advancements of our day. We cannot produce a savior who can fully enter our state with compassion, who can give himself for us as our substitute, walk alongside us to teach and direct our lives, and ultimately conquer the reigning power of sin and death through his own death. Only the inestimable power and wisdom of God could conceive of and accomplish such a miracle. The words that we just sung a few minutes ago from Hark the Herald Angels Sing says this in verse 2, "Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel." The miracle and glory of the incarnation is at the very heart of Christmas. The incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is Christmas.
Him, O come, all ye faithful. Food.
Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your presence with us here this evening. And it is our desire that the songs that we have been singing and all that has been spoken will bring glory and honor to your name. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him. And we're thankful that he abides with us and in us. And one day he shall become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look forward to that great day. So we pray your blessing upon us. We're thankful for this meeting. We're thankful for your presence with us. And we pray that you'll bless the fellowship and the food that we are about to eat. And we pray that you will continue to provide for each one of us. Thank you for your loyal love that never fails. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And just when you thought I was going to let you go, I'm not. Have a quick seat. Trinity's going to take us out with one more piece, their ensemble. Enjoy this, and then you're dismissed, and we look forward to gathering downstairs.